This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Straightening the curve, yeah. Flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get up, but the law never.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9 The Game. Hot comment is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning. It is June 15th. We say good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to you folks in East Point.
East Point.
East Point.
All right now.
And say what you say when I say East Point, or is it Hapeville? The end of the runway.
That's Hapeville and College Park's the end of the runway. East Point is the next one.
Bring that up just a little bit more there, Noel.
Before you get down to College Park.
Yeah.
They're not quite. But they're close, but they're not at the end of the runway.
Oh, okay. Is that one going? Put a little Waylon. Today would have been Waylon's birthday.
Okay.
Do you know that Waylon walked out of the We Are the World recording?
Okay.
Did you know that?
I think I did, yeah.
Okay. For those who didn't know, Waylon Jennings was a part of the We Are the World song, and he didn't do one of the individual parts. He was part of the chorus.
Yeah.
And as the story goes, there was a part of the song, they ran into an area where they didn't know what to do and they didn't have any fill, and Michael Jackson got up and suggested we sing this phrase or this sentence, but it was in Swahili. So they all had to learn this in Swahili. And again, to everybody's credit, not just Waylon Jennings, but everybody, this was a long day for them folks.
Oh, yeah.
They had started off, it was like they came there after the Grammys. It was either the Grammys or the American Music Awards. But, you know, a day like that starts at whatever in the morning, getting ready and rehearsals and all of that stuff. And when they went to... You can bring that down now, Noel. I'm Waylon. But anyway, they get out there, and Michael makes a suggestion. After having been there for hours already, people were getting tired. There was a couple folks that snapped at each other. And when the suggestion of singing this phrase in Swahili came up, Waylon Jennings allegedly said, "Ain't no country boy ever sang no Swahili," and got up and walked out. And so when you see the video of We Are the World, he's there for part of it, and then he's not there for the other part of it. And, you know.
But the best part is when he walks out in the documentary, it goes, "Just a good old boy," walking out the door.
There you go. Bring it a full circle. But, yeah, he stepped on this day. And also celebrating a birthday today, this is for you and I, Errol Garner.
Yeah.
That's for you and
me. Oh, yeah, man.
The song Misty, the old jazz. But what I say to... The song is Misty, but the movie Misty, play Misty for me, you need to go see that. That's my recommendation if you care or have any thoughts about getting into this business. It's the first thing they tell you to watch when you become a DJ or you know, at least they used to. Go out and watch Play Misty for me, especially music channel DJs. Clint Eastwood and Jessica Walters, something like that. Anyway, he plays a late night DJ, The rest you just need to see. So, give everybody this business cause to pause, if you will, right off the top.
Yeah,
hey, man, we don't have a red shirt Sunday, but we got a major going on this weekend in golf.
Yeah, we do.
So we got to take a second and acknowledge what is going on, and the fact the number one player in the world threw a hissy fit. We ain't seen that out of him.
Even when he was getting arrested,
he was calm and cool.
It's been an interesting month for him. It's been an interesting month for him, and he had to scramble just to make the cut. The course is winning up at Pinehurst. You know, you have some places where the players beat the course, the other places where the course beats the player. Right now, the course is like just got those guys screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to Pinehurst. Pinehurst is like
you have. I'm jealous. They got a bunch of them, though. It's not just one. It's
like, but a bunch of courses. But I mean, just the area of the state of North Carolina, you're going through these foothills, and all of a sudden, you're in Bermuda.
What?
Yeah, all of a sudden, this little oasis. pops up there, you know, and you got these golf courses and these, you know,
like
clubhouses.
How many do they have? They got like six or something. Or, yeah, I don't know how many. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, but some people go on like golf junkets and just go there and see if they can't play all the courses. And it just comes out of nowhere, Greg. And it's a fascinating place to go. And I was living and working in North Carolina. We went down there for a couple of events. And so, it's a unique place. But the courses have a well-earned reputation, especially especially for being used for majors like this, for being for your PGA or for a U.S. Open. And the guys are seeing balls just roll off greens.
Well, it's the Smokies. Kind of is that still considered a Smoky? Are you on the foothills or near the Smoky Mountains?
No. This is the hills, not the mountains. This is the hills. Okay.
I don't know North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina. The mountains up in the northern half. This is down the southern part of the
state. Is that called Low Country or is that South Carolina?
No, that's South Carolina Low Country. That's different. That's different. Okay. Different.
I need you for my Carolina education.
You need your geography class.
I know. I don't know. At least I admit I don't know. You know, I just don't know.
Yeah, but that's one to watch for. So, I mean, a lot of the names that you expect to see leading this thing are not there, and they're just fighting to stay in. You got five under leading with Ludvig Åberg is the
say that again?
Ludvig Åberg. Ludvig
Åberg.
Shot a 69 yesterday. Is at five under. I mean, this is one of these courses where two under might win the tournament.
Yeah. We've seen those before.
Is that fun to watch?
It's if you are watching as a golfer and seeing these guys hit shots like you hit, Bobby Jones or wherever, then yeah, you feel a little better about yourself.
Do you?
I'm not trying to feel better about myself.
I want to be, you know, you watch and you want to see great competition. You want to see entertainment at a layout that you feel like is being fair.
Yeah,
and that they can compete, and this is obviously not one of them things.
This is one of those tournaments. This is the golf period right now is in one of those periods. Unless you're a golf fan, unless you really want to see this, unless this is a course that's in your area, for the most part, you ain't bringing the people on the periphery in. They're not doing it. Tiger ain't there. The big names ain't there.
Worry about that. But what the big names are there?
The big names
get to play this,
dude. I'm not talking about the top ranked players. I'm talking about names that bring people to the TV that aren't golf fans. That does not exist now. And they can split this thing up four more ways and LIV and MOUSE and all these different tournaments.
That'll really send it down the tube.
Nobody brings, nobody moves the needle. I shouldn't say nobody. They don't move it nearly enough to where it's noticeable. Scottie Scheffler, he's the number one player in the world.
Yeah, but he's struggling.
But forget about this. Up until this tournament, would you make appointment viewing to go see him play? If he was playing, you could figure, oh, he's probably going to win again. But that's not like I got to go sit down with my favorite meals and watch him because he's in the lead going into the fourth round.
That's not the way people probably receive sports now anyway. You don't sit down with your meal.
You got it on here. Well, whatever. My point is you get ready to watch wherever you're going to watch it.
Well, a lot of folks just program their whatever device.
That's true.
To beep when you get a highlight. Beep, highlight. Okay, that's nice. And they go do something else. That's how it's happening. You mentioned Scheffler. He shot a 74 yesterday.
Yeah, he just barely made the cut.
Barely made the cut for this thing. And some people you may want to watch for or think that you want to see, like Brooks Koepka, he's also at plus five this thing. So, I mean, you watch, but to me, the course is more the story than the players. The course is more the story. If you want to tune in and see guys who make a good living doing this out there.
Thank you, Tiger.
And struggling.
Thank you, Tiger.
Well, not just that. They're making a good living, but they're struggling in this particular layout. They may go and play the British Open. They're gonna score better than this at the British Open.
Not necessarily. Where is it at this year? If it's a Lynx course and it's blowing out there, no, they may not. They may not pull the driver out of the bag. It depends on where they're playing at, which one of these. And you know what the sand traps are like there.
Those things where you basically just set up a home. You lose small children.
Those things. And the other thing is,
Bryson DeChambeau is there at four under. Yeah. I mean, that's someone that may, and Rory McIlroy is at three under. So you got some guys who've managed to navigate their way around this course. They may have an opportunity to be there tomorrow. They make that kind of interesting. But to me, if you're watching this, you're watching more for this course. That is just a beast right now.
I would watch it if Rory made a move today, and he was up there at the top. And because there's a bigger story with Rory right now than just his play. A, he needs another major. But if you remember, when he got divorced, or was getting divorced, there were a lot of people who speculated his game went south because he got into that relationship. Because he didn't win anything. And that was the reason why. But now, after their split or their separation, whatever you want to call it, and again, he hasn't really lit the world on fire, but if he comes back at this major and the announcement was made this past week that the divorce is off and they're going to get back together,
yeah,
and he wins, that's a story. So I'm just saying there's few.
Does that make you want to watch?
It's a story. I'm saying I got no problems with Rory. And here's the other thing about Rory. He took a lot of arrows during this split. Tiger was hurt, so he wasn't playing. So he was the voice of the PGA and calling all those dudes who went over the other side of the fence names and talking about the credibility of the tour and so on and so forth. And then not so much. And things sort of, you know, they tried to mend the fences, and he was sort of left out there. Jay Monahan even came across and said, yeah, we're going to work things out. So he even left Rory hanging out there. And because he's not an unlikable person, the fact that he has a possibility of getting another major would bring me, you know, to the TV or wherever to make sure I saw that, because that's kind of cool. Plus, he can work on my Irish accent. Hey, work on it. I thought I'd get a little bit more with Conor McGregor, but he's off the table now. So I got to follow Rory.
Well, that's what's happening as far.
I don't care what he does, as long as he performs this week. It's going to be nice out there. So I got to work on that.
Yeah, you.
I love hearing Rory talk.
You do need some work on.
Well, all right, let me hear yours.
I don't have one at all.
I'm trying.
I'm not even going to try it. You know.
Hey, what did you think of that news about McGregor when you heard that? I almost expected that he was going to get injured or somehow not have this fight.
Yeah.
He put his name out there again, so he was relevant for a minute, and now he's not. Does the sport need? Well, I think the sport really needs him.
How the sport survives without him?
It'll survive. Does it need it though? That's the question.
Nah. Not anymore. Do we need that Mike Tyson fight? We don't need that either.
Well, Tyson, he's not propping up boxing. Yeah. You're right though. On second thought, I don't think that they need him. More importantly, I don't know that they want him. He ain't hungry no more. He's sitting on $600 million from that booze buy.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So where's the hunger at?
Oh, there are people who say hungry now. There are people who make money. I mean, you know, we've seen that with tennis. We've seen folks like Serena Williams got more money than they ever spend, but she's going to go out there and fight you like she's broke. You know, so I mean, and there's something to be said for people in an individual sport who maintain that. You know, it really is. So you can question that about him,
right?
But the people who are able to maintain that's special. That's that. You know, you still gonna play like I'm playing for bus fare. You know,
well, but those are few and far between. You know that,
and they got that money sitting back there. You know what I mean? To be able to win the money and tune it out and make it not be about that. That's like Tiger too as well. You know, he never made it about his money. If you ask him, I remember asking him a question about you line up for a putt. He said, I line up for a putt, I never think about the money.
No.
You know, if I prepared myself and I execute like I should, you know, the money's the last thing
I think about. We know he's not like that because of what he did to come back and get those last two wins here at Eastlake, and then he got the Masters again.
Well, and that's what keeps him going right now is showing up at tournaments and playing.
So those people – I ask you this. Are we going to see this with the next generation of players? Because what I look at when you talk about what you just mentioned, I think about Ash Barty. I think about a few of these other tennis players who, when they got their bag at 26, I'm going to retire at 26.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, as you said, the individual sports and those players, they get their money really quick. Golf more than tennis.
You know what, though? If Ash Barty feels like if I'm still going out here, not only am I cheating as the spectator, mm-hmm. but I'm cheating me.
Yeah.
You know, and so she says, you know what, I'd rather go over here and do something else, you know, and make my money. So, I mean, that's the other side of it. If that athlete realizes, you know, okay, if I go out here and people are paying money for a ticket to come and see me compete, and I know I don't care,
right,
while I'm half-hearted in my effort, you know, and – you know, you move on, you know, or move to a different phase of it.
I'm here just so I don't get fined.
How about
Let's keep the Marshawn Lynch theme going throughout this show.
If you want to go to a camp for your kids, you want to go to Marshawn Lynch's camp. He'll work with your kids. He's going to drop some language while he's out there, so prepare the kids before you send them.
where was it at here? I want to get this. Jacob Fussell. Fussell.
Huh?
Jacob Fussell. F-U-S-S-E-L-L.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank him for how we are going to make it through today. Jacob Fussell. He is the guy, he's from Baltimore, who got the patent for the first ice cream factory.
Wow.
And that happens, boy, today. I'm getting out of here. I can get a snow cone or some
you
ice
know
cream.
What? Braves play at 4:10.
Ooh, they're going to be some ice cream sold.
4:10 out of Truist today. Charlie Martin starting for the Braves against Tampa Bay. If you want to go, head out there. They won their last two in a row now. Hope those bats are going to keep going and whatnot. Michael Harris, the second, probably be out of the lineup for a minute with a hamstring. But get something cool if you're going
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Snow cone day for this. So anyway, up next.
Yeah, we got a guy going to come by and visit with us, man. Great to have Adam Alexander going to join us next. What's up?
Those are
great.
Open wheel cars. Yeah. The other one was NASCAR. This is open wheels.
It's Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 1990 Game at 1990game.com.
Four friends to mention, and I played my guitar too loud. How do you like me now?
Sports Radio 1990 Game, 1990game.com. And it's Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning, 15th day of June. You hear that Toby Keith song. You know it is time to talk racing with Adam Alexander. And I always try to throw a nugget at Adam just to get him thinking about different things here, because that's what we do here. And on this date, there were a couple big fights that took place.
Okay.
Tommy Hearns knocked out Roberto Duran on this date, second round. That was in 84.
Okay, that sounds about right.
A year later, this is one I had forgotten about, and I love saying this dude's name, Pinklin Thomas.
Pinklin Thomas.
Knocked out Mike Weaver.
Yeah.
For the heavyweight belt.
Wow.
Both of them happened on this day. And I know there's no bigger Pinklin Thomas fan than Adam Alexander.
Oh, come on, man.
Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Adam.
I'm a heavyweight.
You didn't follow. Man, but the middleweights back then and the welterweights with Sugar Ray and Hearns and Duran and Marvelous Marvin, those are some good fights, man. And those guys going back and forth.
No. Marvelous Marvin has got to be one of the great sports nicknames of all time, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think they recently dedicated a statue to him up in Massachusetts, because he's
really
from the Boston area, yeah.
And didn't he change his name legally to Marvelous Marvin?
I think he
and
did.
And then he moved to Italy, had enough of America.
Yeah, made movies.
Yeah. Adam, man, thank you as always, and we have a couple things we want to talk to you about. Well, actually, I know right off the top.
Yeah,
here,
first of all, I mean, obviously, this week the curtain comes down on Race Hub, and it's something that you really put your heart into, and a place that NASCAR fans could go each and every day, not just for information, but for great entertainment and the interviews with everyone. I mean, and we watched this week. Your thoughts as everyone assembled there this week. What was it like for you?
It was surreal. I've got to be honest. It has been a big part of what I've done in the last 15 years. You know, NASCAR Race Hub went on in 2009, and it's just been a remarkable run. When you consider, you know, where the NASCAR audience comes from and how large that is in comparison to the full body of a sports audience that watches some of the other shows, and then you look at the longevity of Race Hub and the success it had and the ratings it generated and what it did for Fox and, you know, what it did for NASCAR as an industry and the race teams. It's been an incredible run, and proud to be and have been a part of that. You hate to see that go away, and it's just a timing thing. It's part of the changing landscape in the world of NASCAR, but it was a great show. It was a neat tribute to the history of what NASCAR Race Hub had been. We had been so fortunate to have so many wonderful analysts over the years, and it was cool to see so many of them come back. You know, Jimmy Spencer was a big part and played a big role in the early days of NASCAR Race Hub, and Kyle Petty was there Kenny Wallace came back, but then you had current drivers. Austin Dillon was in the building, and Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, and, you know, A.J. Allmendinger was one of our regulars early. So across the board, it was a neat celebration of what had been one of the great shows, probably the best daily show in NASCAR history.
Adam Alexander joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Couldn't wait to ask you your thoughts on the news that I saw last week. Was it last week? Yeah, that Tony Stewart had to shut down his racing team, and that was some sort of significant blow to some, and that was the part that I was lost at. That team shutting down, what are your thoughts on that and how it does affect the sport?
Well, I would say that there was a time when a sports team shutting down in NASCAR meant something different than what it means now. You know, we've gone to this charter system, and I realize this is the final year of the agreement with race teams and NASCAR when it comes to the charter program, which is basically like a franchise, not totally, but that's the same concept as you relate it to other sports. Before, when a team would shut down, you had a lot of people that lost their job and had nowhere to go. And I don't want to minimize what's happened here, but the one saving grace in this situation is they have sold these charters that they had. They had four charters for the four cars that they fielded on a weekly basis. Those charters will land somewhere else. Someone has got to go and work to put those cars on track. And so hopefully the charter system minimizes the loss of those folks as they will go and gravitate somewhere else and have an opportunity, you would think. So it's a different era of NASCAR, and I would say a team shutting down means a little bit less than what it used to. You hate it for everyone involved. It is sad, and any time someone at the level that Tony operated at and means as much to the sport as Tony does and always has and always will, really, anytime someone like that walks away, it's disappointing. You don't want to see that happen. But I do feel like all the parts and pieces will be picked up and moved along because of the charter system. And, you know, some of those charters have already been facilitated and purchased. And so hopefully that will help everyone move forward in a positive manner that may have lost out at Stewart Haas as they close their doors.
Spend the time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Adam Alexander from Fox Sports. Always great to catch up with him. He is social. You can always find him at Adam1Alexander, Adam1Alexander. We're hearing Martin Truex, as you know, is ready to relinquish being a full-time driver. Some people call it retirement. I don't know if he's ready to totally step away. Your thoughts about that, and who might get that ride next?
Yeah, I hate it for Martin that he's walking away, because he's meant so much to the sport, and it's hard to see someone like that go, especially when you consider the level that they're playing at right now. I know he hasn't won this season. I know not everything has gone their way, but when you look at where he sits in regard to points, I mean, he's almost a lock to make the playoffs, in my opinion, and I think they'll turn a corner and have a chance to win races and be a threat once we get into the postseason. But this is an end of an era. I was covering Martin in my early days in the sport in the early 2000s when he was driving for Dale Jr. and Chance 2 Motorsports and won those two Xfinity Series titles, and have watched him grow throughout his career and the time driving for Michael Waltrip and then moving over and driving for Furniture Row and doing great things for them and winning that championship and eventually making the move to Joe Gibbs Racing and all the success that he's enjoyed there. He's a cornerstone of the history of NASCAR and has meant so much to the sport, and so it will be disappointing to see him walk away, but it opens the door, it appears, based on everything we hear, for, you know, Erik Jones is someone that you hear talked about quite frequently as a potential replacement there to return to Joe Gibbs Racing, driving now for Legacy Motor Club. And I don't think that's been announced officially yet, but eventually that will come out. I would guess, at least that's the one name I've heard the most recently as a potential replacement for Martin as he retires. And you know, the changing of the guard, but there's a lot of good, young, talented drivers out there, and the future of the sport is very bright because of it. But anytime someone like Martin chooses to walk away and step away, it's disappointing just because of all they've meant to the history of the sport.
Stock cars are making their way back from the West Coast, racing out of Sonoma. Of course, Kyle Larson wins that. He's back in the top of series standings. Thoughts about just the first half of this season? Who has been a surprise and for you, and who's been a disappointment so far?
You know, the disappointment side of things, I would say, is two-time champions that are active, and that would be Joey Logano and Kyle Busch. They have just struggled to find their footing. And, you know, Joey has performed a little bit better lately, but they both continue to hover right around that playoff cut line. And there's so many drivers below the cut that are capable of winning. We saw what Austin Cindric did at St. Louis, and anytime you have a driver like that win from below the cut line, it pushes that playoff cut down and makes it even more difficult to get in on points. And so both Kyle Busch and Joey Logano have a lot of work to do if they're going to make their way in. You know, on the positive side, one name that I would say needs recognition is Ty Gibbs. Ty has performed at a very high level in his sophomore season. He hasn't won yet, but they're knocking on the door of that, and I do anticipate he will win before 2024 is over, and he's in a real good position to go out and make the playoffs. And then, you know, you have to look at the beginning of the year and just talk wholly about Joe Gibbs Racing and Hendrick Motorsports. You know, Hendrick has been so successful with what Kyle Larson and William Byron have been able to do, winning multiple races, Chase Elliott getting back to victory lane. And then you look at Joe Gibbs Racing. You know, Christopher Bell is someone who's been a playoff performer in recent years, and he's done some really good stuff, albeit a somewhat inconsistent so far in 2024. And Denny Hamlin is awesome as well. And those are a collection of drivers that I just anticipate we're going to be talking about deep into September and October when you're talking about those guys that are going to have a chance to go out and win a championship.
Listen, before we let you go, and we know the split that happens every year around this time, what are you most looking forward to this rest of this summer for you, just recreationally or entertainment-wise, Adam?
Well, I would say, you know, the game always changes for me schedule-wise when you get to this time of year, and it's nice to have a little downtime. And while I don't mind doing the prep work, those Tuesday conference calls that we have leading into races get a little bit watered down. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad I don't have to hop on a Zoom call or three or four every Tuesday. And, you know, I'm a family guy, and so it's great to have some time for the family and just relax and get away and disconnect. And we're going through some big changes right now on the TV side with the new TV deal, and we're working on all of that. So we'll see what's next in that regard. But just looking forward to disconnecting, getting away, and enjoying some time to relax with family. It's always good to do this time of year, and I'm looking forward to that. Maybe a little U.S. Open this weekend.
Yeah,
right,
see, that's
looking for you. You got to come down for a Braves game. The Braves may suit you up right now.
Not only that, but we, you know, listen, we can reach out to him for a consultant. You know,
we're going to keep in touch with him.
Happening,
you know, because there's something happening.
That's right.
Well, the racing landscape is changing. We're going to understand that Fox is going to do IndyCar next year, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So, and look, we still got to talk to him about Chicago.
Yeah,
you know, we got, you're not going no place with us.
This dude's like family, man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. You guys reach out anytime. I always love being on with you, and I always appreciate it.
There you go. That's right. Our man. Adam Alexander, FS1, joining us here. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, buddy. And as always, thank you for getting up and joining
us.
And
happy Father's Day.
Hey, oh, yeah. Happy Father's Day. Got to remember that.
Absolutely. Happy Father's Day. Thanks so much.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, yeah.
Got a casting call. Going to let you know where some money's flying through the air. We haven't talked much Falcons today. There was a big announcement that,
Given what
we saw last year in the NFL, actually will affect, and it made some people sit up and notice when this announcement was made last week. We're going to talk about that next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you in the Odyssey app.
Conjunction, junction, what's their function?
I got and, button, or, they'll get you pretty far. And, that's an additive.
There's some people going back right now. This is Saturday morning from back in the day. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Listen, when school gets ready to come back, by the way, when is that? That's not September. It's like in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, in a couple of weeks, man. They send them kids back to school.
It seems like it, don't it?
You know?
We're gonna play the whole Schoolhouse Rock catalog. So we give you a conjunction junction and do a noun, the one about how's it come to Bill. We'll get you some school going on here. No, I hadn't heard of those, though.
Well, you know, it's assignments. You get the assignments over the summer, and you come back with your report when you come back to school.
I spent too much time
in middle of July.
I spent too much time in summer school. I'm not proud of it, but I did. That's why I'm giving out information now. Today was the day that J. Edgar Hoover took over the FBI.
Okay.
Back in the day. And I'll leave it at this. You got to wonder what his wardrobe was.
Oh.
Right?
You think?
That's what we heard. This is one that's just crazy to me. And you knew he was a great baseball player. You also knew he was a world-class so-and-so. But Ty Cobb stole home a bunch of times. He got his record steal on this date. Do you know how many times this dude stole home? 54 times.
Whoa.
54. He got his 54th stolen steal of home on this date.
Man.
I don't know of a player who stole. Stole it what? Twice? Two times?
Two or three times.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
54 times.
That's just nice.
But he got his 54th on it. He might have sold it a couple times after. And here's the other thing, too. This was our parents went through this. Do you remember Operation Alert Exercise? You ever heard of that, Noel? Operation Alert Exercise. This was something that was created by our government and the president. Okay, this is an Eisenhower thing. This is Ike at it. There was going to be some siren. Every city, I guess, every state had some sort of noise making something, you know, siren away. But when you heard this, this was the thing that made you dive under your desk if you were at school. We heard about those times, right? When the kids would dive under their desk, and it was because of this Operation Alert exercise, because we would be being attacked by nuclear weapons. Bombs were coming to America. So if you got under your desk, you were going to be okay. But that's what they had kids do. It was a thing. This is like in the mid-50s. And today, this movie came out, and it was probably the change of the NFL in a certain kind of way, but Jim Brown said enough. The Dirty Dozen was released. And him going off to make this movie and not coming back to training camp got under Art Modell's skin, and then the ultimatum was given, and Jim Brown said, all right, well, you know what? I'm done. And walked away.
Never missed a game.
Yeah, until that happened.
Yeah.
Anyway. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Everybody knows, if you've been paying attention to something like this, that the industry is in a lull right now. A lot of people are waiting, meaning the film industry.
I've seen a lot of stuff happening.
You've seen signs.
I've seen some things set up with somebody. And a matter of fact, it was at a grocery store again. I wasn't trying to go.
Oh, here you go again.
I wasn't trying to go this time. And you know, that's it, man. Your folks would not let me go to the grocery store. That's amazing.
You should have pulled in there when you saw them trucks there. Right?
Actually,
you need to put it on your store. Because whether it's, you know, a 24-hour joint or a food store, if you go in there and they're making it difficult because of the filming that's going on, then they need to have either signage right there in front to let you know or an alternative entrance. That's what Von Maur did. When we were out there at Perimeter Mall,
they let you through the side door.
They
the
let
back,
the people
the storage.
In. The people were in this store while The Rock was standing there filming this scene with us, and a woman took a picture of it and put it online and said, hey, The Rock's over here at Perimeter Mall. And then The Rock's folks saw that, and then, like an hour later, put a big blast out, thanking the people of Atlanta and saying, we are so honored to be here shooting. But this was a way for somebody not to get a whole bunch of folks going to their site and make some money. They squashed that real quick.
Wow.
The dude is a company. Walks around, and he got three other people that look just like him on set. Built like him, look like him. In case he has to leave off and go do something else, they can use these other guys. Team Rock, they're called. Anyway, I say to Noel, P-Valley's still looking for folks. That's our show. Hilton Casting is doing it. You'll see that up on the breakdown. Now, some of these, as is the case on Saturdays when I come back after being gone for a week, which is why I tell you to go to the pages, the social media pages of all the casting directors, and you can see what they post, in some cases, hourly.
Mm-hmm.
But Hilton Casting, doing P-Valley, there's a number of different needs. So just go to Hilton Casting's Facebook page or website and see what is there. This was a scene for a barbershop that they needed, we posted last week. I don't know if they have filled them all because there was a number of needs. But anyway, P-Valley, Hilton Casting. Go to the website, check it out. Patrick and the boys over at Extras Casting Atlanta, they're doing a new project, and they won't even tell me the name of it. Now,
wow.
Last week it was character. They needed people with character in their look about them. Just not everyday pretty, not everyday normal. You got to have something unique about you. You know, those of you who had character. Well, that was last week. There's a number of needs. I'm going to have a new one tomorrow. But if you want to go to Extras Casting Atlanta, go to their Facebook page. You will see those jobs. Destination Casting still doing a couple projects. They're doing the reenactment of real crimes. They need folks for that. They have a TV movie where they are looking for, well, a number of people. They had warehouse employees, school staff and parents, they had sheriff deputies. But again, Destination Casting. This is really pretty much what I should do on Saturdays. Just say, yeah, I got a list of them here, but you go to these casting directors' social media pages today. With the exception of a few that have jobs that are a few weeks out. I got a couple of them here that are for July. But otherwise, casting tailor-made, doing a pilot for Amazon, needed multiple roles filled. Some of these are featured roles, which, by the way, pays a little bit more. But again, just go and check them all out there. And I want to say this about, I mentioned last week about vehicles. And yes, there are needs for vehicles. There's needs for the vehicles and their owners. Those vary. Read through the breakdowns completely. But you get, for sitting in your car, you get paid, and they pay you for bringing your car. So basically, the car is getting paid.
Okay.
And in some cases, you're going to do some traveling, but that's not in this one. So that's Rose Lock. She's got a project called Weapons that's going on. It's got a couple projects. So again, those are the ones in front of the camera, but I will tell you as I started talking here that there is a bit of a lull right now, and it will change. But the negotiations continue between the it's a really long alphabet soup, but it's the theater. Theater unions, the theatrical unions, and the Teamsters. Those are the two big bodies. Now, under that umbrella, there's a number of smaller entities, like craft services, like things like that that are on set. They have their own little contracts, and they have been worked out. So a lot of the stuff on the next level down, that's cool with them.
Okay.
It's the bigger one. It's the it's the Teamsters nationally. It's the theatrical union nationally. And that's what's being negotiated. They've got until the end of July to get this taken care of. Or is it the beginning of July? But anyway, it's in July to get this taken care of. Movement might happen before then, and it may not. But coming off the heels of the last strike, that was prevalent as far as the lack of jobs that were being shot around Georgia because of that. So now that started to get an uptick, and then this is going on. So I just want to explain an overall view of why it's going on. But to your point, yes, there's still productions being shot. They're going to still keep you out of grocery stores.
Yeah, man. Because that's what I saw. That's what I saw. It was a different grocery store, but they had big, everything set up out there.
Yeah.
I said, okay.
And I got to go knock an audition out here today, and I did one earlier this week for Mr. Perry again. Maybe they're going to keep bringing me back
because I did that one. Because,
audition, I ain't booked nothing.
Because they know you'll be out there in the middle of the night. Hey.
Greg.Clarkson, Odyssey.com, if you got any questions about any of this stuff. And, of course, you can see the list right now up on Get Cast with Greg on X. And also at 929thegame.com/casting. Hey, there's Jen Hobby again. Star 94 is on TV. I was trying to think of the other thing I wanted to mention today. As far as movies, All the President's Men. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes.
It came out today. Today was the day that movie came out. And also, now, let this ruminate for a second. The Houston Astros back in the day played where?
Astrodome.
Right. They had a rainout on this date.
Whoa.
The Houston Astros, who played in the Houston Astrodome.
Which still stands. It's still there.
Had a rain.
They don't do anything with it, but it kind of is just
sitting there. Anyway, it had a rainout on this. It is in the books as a rainout. There was so much rain in Houston on that day or over a period of time, the visiting team and the umps couldn't get to the stadium, so they canceled it.
That happens there from time to time. They can get some rain.
There's no way I'd ever live in that city.
Streets turn into rivers and, man, all kind of stuff out there.
You know what else happened on this day?
Uh-oh.
We found out the vice president's spelling ability. This was the day that Dan Quayle in a grammar school, elementary school, I think it was in Virginia, at a spelling bee, corrected the kid. This is famous footage. I'm just saying. A kid got up on board. He was given a word to spell, and he spelled it correctly, which was the word was potato. And Dan Quayle, the vice president of the time being, said, "Excuse me, you're not finished there," and made the kid put an E on the end of it. You don't remember that footage?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that now.
The vice president made the kid misspell the word. And yeah, that was Dan Quayle. Happened on this day. And The Lion King opened on this day.
Ah.
One of my favorite. I would probably say it is my favorite. It's a Disney movie. That's my favorite Disney movie.
Of all of them?
I would probably say, yeah. What would beat The Lion King? I knew the people in it. I connected with those folks. I liked the fact that they had Benson in it. who played the guy? I forgot the name. He was like and he was a butler again, basically. He was Mufasa's. I never thought about that. He was Mufasa's, man. But I forgot. It started with an R.
It was Zazu, wasn't it? Was he Rafiki?
Thank you. That was it. And he's the one who held up Simba when he was born.
That was Benson.
That was Robert Guillaume.
Yep.
Who played that? And then you had what you got? James Earl Jones, a whole bunch of, and then Ferris Bueller was the Simba. So, but yeah, man, that's my favorite. I honestly could say that's my favorite Disney movie.
All right,
not yours. Give me one, Noel. You got a favorite Disney movie?
Oh. Everybody says Lion King, so I keep that like Michael Jordan. So I'm gonna go with my second, which is Hercules.
Okay, I was gonna say. I thought about it. A close second would be Aladdin. Is that Disney? Because it's Robin Williams, like, going crazy. But I'm not sure if that's Aladdin. If it's Disney.
Yeah, that's Disney.
Is Disney? Okay. Is Pixar considered Disney, or is that something?
Yes, they bought it.
Okay. Yeah. So then it'd be Lion King and then Aladdin for me. Yeah. Shrek's not in there, is it?
Hercules, because they had in vogue as the Muses. You can't beat that.
Oh.
Okay, see?
Singing every 20 minutes.
What's the one with Jason Momoa in it? Where he's or The Rock. I'm getting confused. The Rock was in the one about in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, Momoa, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Anyway, again, thank you. Well, we got to get on
Moana,
out of here.
I think it's Moana. Something like that, but yeah.
Sam, you never told us your favorite Disney movie. Did you not have one?
Different ones. I mean, yeah, how far back can I go?
I'm saying. I use all of them.
Can I go back to Love Bug?
That's a cute one.
Man, I never thought about that one. Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Ain't seen that in years.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Isn't that Freddy the Love Bug? Herbie the Love Bug. I was getting, okay. No, that's nice. I didn't expect that one. That's pretty. On that note, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.